Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. I'm joined tonight by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are you tonight?
I'm great, bud. Pretty excited about our guest tonight. It was a fellow former ESPN colleague here, Chris Harris, and he and I did some ESPN fantasy summits together where, you know, us two opinionated fellows sort of dominated the room and the conversations from time to time, but it was an awful lot of fun, Chris. I'm great. Pretty excited to have you on, man.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be on. I'm an early adopter for the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm happy.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, we are glad to have you on here. This is of course Chris Harris. He's you can find all of his content now over at harrisfootball.com. I know he's churning out podcasts like crazy.
I really am.
Yeah,
some good ones this week, by the way. I listened to both the running back and the wide receiver one.
Thank you very much. Yeah, somehow we won 2015 Podcast of the Year, Fantasy Sports Podcast of the Year. That's crazy.
Well deserved too. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to jump right in tonight. We have a long agenda, and we hope to cover it all. We're actually going to talk about some running backs tonight, and hopefully some running backs on every single team. We'll shoot for the stars and see if that happens. I kind of feel like in today's, not only today's NFL, but today's dynasty football world, running backs are just overlooked. You know, they've become kind of the redheaded stepchildren. Everybody wants those wide receivers. And of course, the NFL, the league itself, is all about quarterbacks. So running backs have kind of started to become ignored, but we're going to focus on them tonight. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, so I would say you're right to a large degree, but the ones that stand out are the ones who can play on all three downs and who get a lot of work and who become the focal point or one of the focal points of their offense. And I think those few guys become all the more valuable, all the more scarce. And therefore, if they're younger, you know, we happen to be in a cycle of running backs that are a little bit older, but if they're younger, they can be all that much more valuable.
No question. And I think it is worth noting that last year we had an amazing rash of running back injuries too. So, I mean, I think that a lot of these guys or the position in general is kind of leaving a bad taste in everyone's mouth. You know, Ryan and I are doing an MFL 10 right now, and I was shocked how many receivers were going right off the, you know, right away. I mean, hardly any running backs were getting taken in the first couple rounds, and I think people are just not investing in them like they used to, especially in redraft.
I guess I get that from MFL 10 maybe even more, though, because, you know, at this point, who knows how those backfields work out, right? And so at least you get a little certainty baked into your wide receivers.
Hey, before we get started, Chris, I've heard you talk about this a lot. I've never had this conversation with you, you know, face-to-face or even up in Bristol or whatever. I got to hear about this blah, blah, blah Lebowski league that you're in. It sounds unbelievable.
The blah, blah, blah Lebowski league.
It's
La Liga Lebowski, but we do refer to it as Lebowski. Yeah, it's a crazy thing that I dreamt up. So did you ever hang out at ESPN when John Anik was still there?
No, I did not.
Okay. So Anik right now, he calls fights for the UFC, right? And but he was one of my original hosts for most a lot of the TV stuff I did and Sports Center stuff I did, whatever. And we're good pals. And he was leaving. And I was like, okay, dude, I know how this works. We're never gonna stay in touch unless we do something. So let's start a league. And of course, a lot of people listening are that way, right? You want to stay in touch with your college buddies or whatever. Okay, so we want to do a league, but we don't want it to just be standard, right? We want it to be something special. And I have been saving ideas for rules for a keeper league for a long time. And I'd been throwing them into a Word file, like things that annoy me about typical leagues. And so, like, for example, it annoys me in a dynasty league when Cam Newton costs a dollar his first year, and then you can keep him for relatively cheap forever, right? Maybe it's a little bit of price acceleration, but, you know, he's still going to be cheap until he retires, basically. And a few things like that, things that sort of, you know, tick me off. So I had come up with mechanisms to kind of change. So in the case of that example, I have player holdouts. So if players finish in the top 10 at their position and they're not earning half of the average of the top 10 at their position, they'll hold out for more money from year to year. Franchise tags, transition tags, accelerated salary cap hits. So it's kind of a big, unwieldy, complicated thing. So we just finished our fifth year, and by the way, I won it for the first time this year, which was kind of nice.
Nice work.
But the podcast, the Harris Football Podcast, starting and me doing a daily podcast sort of gave me the opportunity to talk about it, and it spawned all of these clone leagues. So they're like, I don't know, between 10 and 15 La Liga clone leagues that just did their first seasons. So, and everybody kind of considers that page that I wrote 5 years ago as kind of the Bible and that they work off of. And it's turned into a whole thing, and it's really fun.
That's pretty awesome. It's highly, highly in-depth from what it sounds like.
I'll send you the link. I've posted the link a bunch of times on Twitter, but yeah, the rules page, your eyes will bug out a little bit.
That's unbelievable. Well, let's get rolling. Let's talk running backs here.
All right. Well, what I have done, guys, is I've taken every NFL backfield and basically placed them into some categories. And I want to see if you guys agree with me, and then you can just take off on anything you want within that category. So I've first started with a few that I consider safe. So these are running backs. Their value in dynasty leagues, I think, is fairly safe. Their job in their on their team, I should say, is safe. So of course we have Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh, Todd Gurley, one of Matt's favorites, T.J. Yeldon down in Jacksonville, Jamal Charles, David Johnson, Adrian Peterson, and then Carlos Hyde in San Francisco. So those are the guys I have in the safe category. I don't see much of a threat behind any of them. Chris, would you disagree with any of those?
Well, as much as I like Carlos Hyde, you know, I think the 49ers have to get another running back, and I would say that they're potential players for one of the free agents. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Arian Foster or somebody like that went to San Francisco. As currently constituted in San Francisco, yeah, there's no one there who's a threat, but I don't think they can go into next season with that depth chart because Hyde, you know, got hurt, and now he's going to have a injury-prone bugaboo associated with him, and you know, so I probably wouldn't put him there just because I expect that. But yes, I mean, I agree that there's no one there right now who scares me.
Matt, anything from that group jump out to you?
Yeah, I agree. In San Francisco, I mean, I think they like Mike Davis, you know, who's kind of an under the radar rookie last year. Maybe they bring back Sean Drawn. I mean, of course, those guys aren't going to cut into Hyde, but I could see them getting somebody more consequence than that. To the other dimension, I've talked up Yeldon because I don't think he is in any danger. But when Chris just said Arian Foster, it dawned on me. It's like Jacksonville has so much cap room that they're going to have a hard time spending it all. I mean, maybe they do go grab Chris Ivory or Arian Foster or somebody that's at least, you know, comes in as a strong number two because they have to spend their money. And then back to the cap. I don't think this is going to happen, but I don't think it's outlandish to suggest that Kansas City considers cutting Jamal Charles because they are loaded with defensive free agents. They need an offensive line. They were a phenomenal running team without him last year. I don't think it's going to happen, but that wouldn't blow me away.
And, you know, there's the injury question with him, and there's the potential replacements being their potential with them. I don't love either one of those guys, but they were competent in what was kind of a magical run for the Chiefs. So I'm with you. In fact, I don't even know if there's a big cap savings on cutting Charles at this point. But, you know, he's a 29-year-old running back coming off a torn ACL, so everything's on the table.
Sure.
All right, so our next group we have are the players that are clearly in running back by committees or at least a strong potential to be in a committee attack. Let's start with Buffalo. We've got LeSean McCoy. You know, he's had a rough offseason so far with his incident over in Philadelphia. And then, of course, we have the rookie, last year's rookie, Carlos Williams. Is this still McCoy's job? Is he pretty safe there?
I know everybody's going to say no. Carlos Williams is going to be one of the most hyped players in fantasy this summer, and it may be one of those situations where the hype gets going so crazy that it then rebounds and people start liking McCoy again. I like Carlos Williams fine, but the numbers on him don't tell the story. I mean, you can't get a touchdown every three carries, whatever it was there for a month. And I thought McCoy, when he was healthy, was pretty good last year, but he's on the back nine, and Carlos Williams is a big guy, and I wouldn't be shocked to see Williams be the touchdown maker there. I think characterizing it as some kind of platoon is probably right.
You know, I was surprised. For Dynasty League Football, Chris, you may not know, but I put together monthly Dynasty ADP by running a few mock drafts each month. And in our February data, Carlos Williams was actually being drafted ahead of LeSean McCoy in Dynasty startups. I was kind of surprised to see that even with the off-field issues with McCoy.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, you like Carlos Williams fine, but I don't think you get carried away over him, right?
Correct, but I've talked about him on the show, too, that I don't want to forget that he was a safety not that long ago at Florida State. So, I mean, his best days might be ahead of him. I think he'll be a Rex Ryan favorite, I mean, a rugged dude. But I thought McCoy was washed up and gone, but he impressed me last year. He exceeded my expectations. Their offensive line's what scares me up there. I mean, I'm kind of avoiding that situation.
All right, what about in Cincinnati? They've lost Hugh Jackson, their former offensive coordinator. It's Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill. You know, Gio had a disappointing sophomore season 2 years ago. Hill kind of took the reins. And then history repeated itself with Hill disappointing fantasy owners last year. Whose job is this, and do we even really want either one of these guys?
So I'll go first. I mean, Matt, I'm remembering last year's summit at ESPN where, you know, people walked in saying Jeremy Hill's – not you, but some folks came in saying Jeremy Hill's like a contender for the number one pick overall.
Yep.
And just – I remember just being floored, like people saying, oh, he's a candidate to lead the NFL in carries, and people saying he's an unbelievably dynamic player, and that just did not jive with what I saw on film from his rookie year when the numbers turned out really good. I just think he's on my podcast, I call him a hippo on roller skates. Like, I think he's a big guy, and you know, there's a little Derrick Henry in him, maybe. Like when it's not like he's slow when he gets space. He just takes a while to get going and isn't going to make a ton of cuts. And if I had my choice between Gio or Jeremy Hill, I'd take Gio every single time.
I certainly would in real life. I mean, like, I don't think they're close, but I often make that mistake. I said that last week. It's like, my background, I was in the league. You know, my background isn't fantasy. My background is NFL scouting. And I always lean towards the better football player, but Hill scores touchdowns and Gio doesn't. You know, like
Although they seem to come, they seem to come in the same game. They seem to go like, yeah, you got four of them.
But I don't see that situation changing at all. I mean, I think those two are going to remain who they are in fantasy for the foreseeable future. I mean, do you agree, Ryan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, this time last year, it was the Hill hype, but Gio's value was still kind of hanging around. And most people had those guys both in their top 12 running backs. Neither one finished in the top 12 running backs in scoring last year. So I think their value has cooled a little bit. If you like one of them, now's the time to go buy. They're both pretty reasonably can be acquired pretty reasonably. So I agree with you guys. Gio's the talent.
I mean, so I've had Gio in La Liga since he came in the league, and it's a half-point per reception league. And, you know, I granted if it's a standard league and you're not getting anything for catches, maybe a little less appeal. But I'll tell you, I'm very happy plugging in Gio in a half-point PPR and just saying, oh, I mean, pretty safe floor. Give me my 5 or 6 points, and then let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Sorry, Matt. I was going to say the same thing. You know, Matt mentioned Hill gets the touchdowns, but Gio gets the catches. So, you know, there's some balance to that if you're in a PPR league.
In my mind's thinking free agency right now, and what are these teams going to look like? And I'm always thinking this time of year, projecting. And if you think of Cincinnati, all the receivers beside A.J. Green are free agents. I mean, does that mean more catches for Gio? I mean, I assume Jones will leave. You know, they're going to have somebody there, but there's going to be turnover at the wide receiver position. Does he catch more passes?
Yeah, maybe so. Well, let's stay in Ohio with Cleveland and Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell. Matt, I know you're a Duke Johnson fan, so I know that's the side you're going to lean. Why don't you get us started?
Well, a lot of people make the comparison, you know, that this Browns backfield is going to be like the Bengals backfield. And I think there's some similarities there. I mean, Duke and Gio have some things going for them. But Cleveland's always losing. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot more garbage time in Duke's future than there is Gio's future. And their line worries me. You know, Mack could be leaving. Schwartz is a really good right tackle. He won't be back. I think Crowell's a little bit better than he's given credit for. But I'm a big Duke Johnson buyer right now. I mean, I think you can get him reasonably cheap. I think he'll touch the ball a lot.
Duke Johnson impressed me on film for a lot of the year. There just wasn't enough work for him and not enough competent quarterback play, basically, to, you know, you just, you would see Duke you know, run out of the slot and run a nine route and catch it over his shoulder, just like looking like a wide receiver. I mean, he's got ball skills for days. I'm not sure he can carry the ball from scrimmage like Gio can. You know, I think he really is more of a Shane Vereen type, a Deion Lewis type. But that's okay. You know what? In today's league, with the running backs needing to catch them, I mean, that means he's going to be on the field more than the other guy, not less than the other guy. You know, there was a time when the third down back was a dirty word for running backs in fantasy. And now for Dynasty, I'm cool building around players like that. That are, you know, especially like you said, I mean, if Cleveland's going to be behind, a little bit of a crutch argument, but still, I mean,
right.
how much can you – they've been bad, and they're going to have a rookie quarterback, and who's that guy going to throw the ball to? Like, I'm with you. Isaiah Crowell just doesn't really do anything for him. I think he's sort of a league-average guy. Duke would be the one I'd want to invest in.
So I hesitate to call this next situation a running back by committee, but Philadelphia, we've got DeMarco Murray, huge disappointment last season. You know, they even dropped him to third or fourth on the depth chart at one point, which, you know, was kind of a ridiculous move. And then there's Ryan Matthews, and of course they also have Darren Sproles, and who knows what his future is with the team or in the league. But they've got some options there. Can Murray reclaim this job now that Kelly is gone, or will Matthews kind of hang around and be a second back that actually plays a pretty big role? Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's probably to some degree status quo until one of them gets hurt. The irony of last year was the only thing we could see going wrong in that situation was, you know, someone's going to get hurt. And I mean, Matthews got, you know, a little bit hurt, but not one of his prototypical broken collarbone season enders. And as it turned out, they all stayed healthy and they still were terrible. You know, I just think the whole style argument that people tried to make about how, oh, DeMarco Murray's a bad fit for Chip Kelly. Like, the year before, LeSean McCoy, who's basically the exact opposite of DeMarco Murray, was considered a bad fit for Chip Kelly's offense. So, like, which is it? Do you want the guy who goes laterally, like LeSean McCoy, and you talk him out of town? Or do you want the guy who goes north-south, like DeMarco Murray, and now you want to talk him out? Like, it seems to me the problem in Philly was a lot more than the talent of running backs. You know, we're turning out, we hate the coach. Offensive line was way overrated. Like, you know, I think it's probably some semblance of a split, but I don't know if I care.
Yeah, I hear you too. I mean, I own Murray nowhere. I'm never going to own him. I mean, but I could see him having somewhat of a bounce back season. You know, they're going to play like the Chiefs played. You know, I mean, Peterson is going to be a run first guy. I think that much is clear. I think there'll be plenty of carries to go around. But I've said this since day one. I mean, Ryan Matthews is more talented than DeMarco Murray.
I think, you know, it's just hard to trust Matthews. You know, he had a couple of huge games last year, especially as a receiver out of the backfield. But, you know, how can you project those when, you know, he's not like Gio or Duke, who's getting 4, 5, 6, 7 catches every game. He just had one or two games where he really exploded. So, I mean, I see the talent there as well, Matt, but I just don't know if you can, you know, is he even worth a roster spot?
One thing I want to note just about this group in general, Buffalo and Cincinnati, I think, are pretty safe. That they're not going to tamper with their backfield. Cleveland, you never know. I mean, they have a lot of cap room. It wouldn't blow me away if they used a pick on a guy. The Eagles could cut Darren Sproles still. And both these guys aren't young, Murray and Matthews. If they are going to run the ball a ton, might they bring somebody in that cuts into these guys' time? And then this next one we bring up is San Diego. I think they're married to Melvin Gordon. They're married to him. But Woodhead's a specialty guy. I mean, maybe they bring in a hammer, a goal line stealer guy? So I'm not sure that these last three in this group are set in stone yet.
Right, and that's another situation that I hesitated to tab a running back by committee. You know, I think they want Melvin Gordon to claim that job and be their, you know, maybe not their every down back, but at least first and second down. And he just couldn't do that last year. Can Gordon actually do something in the league, or is he just going to be a bust?
I think he can do something in the league. I liked Melvin Gordon last year. Okay, so let me say, I didn't like the fumbling, and that is not a small thing. Ball security, if it rears its head again this year, he's going to find himself out of the league. Like, it can be a thing that literally, you know, it's David Wilson you, right? And suddenly you're not playing. If he gets that under control, I think the rest of it is really, really good. He made stuff out of nothing. This was, I think, the worst offensive line in the NFL. And I will grant you, it's been a bad offensive line for a while, and they keep throwing draft picks at it, and they keep not improving it. So maybe I shouldn't have tons of faith that they're just suddenly going to be magically better in 2016. But as a player, so not a good situation, but as a player, other than the fumbling, there were no touchdowns. That stinks. It's a little fluky. Kenny Woodhead did steal some. Like, I'm not trying to tell you Melvin Gordon is a first-round pick, but I believe that the lateral quickness, toughness, catching the ball, I think you're looking at a value pick up, let's say, for Dynasty Leagues.
So, Chris, would you, of course, if you have Melvin Gordon on your roster, you probably spent the 1.03 rookie pick for him last year, something in that range. Would you give up a late first-round rookie pick for Gordon right now?
This year, absolutely, I would. Okay. I would. I mean, I don't think it's a great skill position draft. I don't know which receiver we'll find out maybe they'll all land on just unbelievably great situations where they're all, projected to be, number one receivers for fabulous quarterbacks, but that doesn't usually happen. I absolutely would.
All right, so our next category we're going to look at is some free agent impact, some teams that free agency could really impact these teams and impact their backfields. Let's start with Tampa Bay. Of course, their starter, Doug Martin, had a huge season last year, kind of a bounce-back year, and he's now a free agent. Everybody thought he was a lock to return to Tampa. There's kind of been, ebbs and flows that maybe he leaves town, maybe he re-signs. Let's say he does choose to leave. Will they turn to Charles Sims as their starter? Will they bring in they'll have to bring in somebody else, but will they bring in somebody else like a Forte or a Foster, some of these other guys we've mentioned, or will they rely on Charles Sims?
First off, I don't think Martin's going anywhere. We're going to get to Miami next. Those are the two premier younger free agent to be running backs. I think Martin returns to Tampa Bay. I don't think Miller returns to Miami. I mean, do I have inside information on that? No. But I just think that Tampa needs him, to make life easier on Winston. He played really well for them. I'd be shocked if he leaves. Although, with or without Martin, I think Sims is a more than serviceable PPR back. Like, I want him on my roster. And if Martin goes down, he's an every week starter. He doesn't cost you a ton right now. If Martin were not to come back, though, I do think they bring in a bigger back. I don't think they hand the job to Sims.
Sure, and actually Sims is, size-wise, is a bigger back, but you're absolutely right. He doesn't play like it, and he's much more of a receiving back. And there are moments from his tape that are terrific. I mean, I'm remembering a run last year where he faked Luke Kuechly out of his jock. There are moments, but I just don't think he has it the way – I think what it comes down to is when you see a player who has a lot of athletic ability and good size and, toughness and hands and everything we want from a running back, and he just doesn't break a lot when someone else on his team is, Doug Martin is, to me that means vision. I just don't know that Charles Sims has the vision to be a feature back, the instincts, I'll call it sort of esoterically. I love Doug Martin. I've always loved Doug Martin. I would love to see him re-sign because it's a good situation for him, but, I also sort of dream what it would be like if he was with a little bit more of a power offense, because I think he'd be great. Clearly, he's got to stay healthy, though. There were 2 years in the wilderness where he wasn't.
You mentioned Miami already, Matt. With Lamar Miller potentially leaving, they've got the rookie, the soon-to-be second-year back, Jay Ajayi. He played well when he finally got healthy last season. What about him? Do they consider him starting material?
Well, like every time we bring up these teams, I often bring up their cap situation. Tampa's got a lot to spend. Miami's really cash strapped right now, especially after that Sue contract. And Olivier Vernon's up. I mean, they have bigger fish to fry right now in Miami, bigger mammals to fry. Ah, nice one, Matt. than a running back. And frankly, I like Miller, but everyone, the dynasty, the fantasy community, consistently thinks that they're smarter than Miami coaches, and why don't they give Miller a huge workload? Well, three staffs have thought that he is not a workhorse back, and they're with him every day, and they do this for a living. Maybe that's something about the player, that he is not a workhorse back. I like Miller. I think Ajayi, though, was better on tape than Miller was last year. I really like this kid, but I like him more for redraft. I think he has a big season, but there's a reason he was a fifth-round pick instead of a second-round pick because his knee's all messed up.
Yeah, like literally this week on my podcast, I had one of the scouts tell me that, you know, the reason Ajayi fell was absolutely because of the knee, and one team doctor had told that scout, I can't tell you his knee's going to blow up. I literally don't know whether that knee lasts 2 days or a decade, and that's why I can't give him a clean bill of health. It's not one of those that's definitely a degenerative condition, and it's definitely, you know, it's just a matter of time. It's one of those where they just don't know, mm-hmm. and that is scary, and I'm with you. That puts a little bit of a dark cloud on his dynasty stock, but not that much. You know, like, what are we with running backs? Are we really planning on having these guys for 5 years on our dynasty teams? Like, probably
running
not.
Running backs get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, they and often hurt bad enough that when they come back, they're not the same guy anymore. It's pretty rare to get the age 28, 29, 30 guy who – we've had a generation of running backs here who stayed pretty effective, the Fortes, the Lynches, the Petersons, the Charleses, who stayed effective later than I think we expect running backs typically to do. So I'm with you. I thought Ajayi was better on tape than Lamar Miller at the end of last year. I think Lamar Miller's a knucklehead. I think that's why the coaches don't trust him. I think he just does – goofy things on the field. I didn't do anything bad off the field. I just think he's that guy who's in the open, ready to run for a long touchdown and, you know, changes the ball from one hand to the other and drops it, or mysteriously cuts towards a defensive back instead of away from. Like, I don't think he's got great football instincts. He's obviously a great athlete. And I think the dynasty community just fantasizes about Lamar Miller to Dallas. That's, you know, everybody just rates him as though Dallas is going to pay to get him, in which case, yeah, he's going to be really, really good.
Ryan, I'm curious. I owned Ajayi in one league, and I'm hoping it plays out this way, that they don't re-sign Miller. Maybe they use a fourth-round pick on a running back, whatever. Name Ajayi the starter. His value will peak, and then I can hold somebody over the coals for him. That's the plan.
I can see that happening. We're going to talk later about some of these other sophomores who could be claiming the job when, you know Thomas Rawls would be an example. You know, Marshawn Lynch is gone, so now it's Rawls' job going forward. But those guys they're already being valued highly in Dynasty, and Ajayi seems to be just kind of on the outside looking in. If Miller does, you know, on the first or second day of free agency, if he signs a big contract to go to Dallas or, you know, whoever else has all this money to spend, then Ajayi's value is just going to skyrocket, whether he deserves it or not. So, you know, you've got, what, two or three more weeks to take a chance and buy him in your dynasty leagues.
And that or like Matt, you can wait. Or like Matt, you can wait and wait for it to happen and then sell him if you're not a longer-term believer.
Exactly.
Because yeah, I do worry about the knee a little bit more than the average running back, but your point's taken. I mean, okay, there's a running back with durability questions. So what? They all are.
Yeah, I think Chris's point is an excellent one, and I probably should have said this at the beginning of the conversation. Our entire conversation tonight really has kind of a redraft, what will next year look like feel to it. But that's how I value running backs. I think that's probably how you guys value running backs in Dynasty as well. You know, if you can give me a guy, you know, if you can give me Todd Gurley and say he's going to be a top five fantasy running back for the next 10 years, then, you know, I'm excited about that. But in general, just give me a guy who can be a starter for 1 year, 2 years, and you know, I'll figure it out from there.
Hey, Chris, remember the past Fantasy Summit? What was Stefania saying about Gurley, too? I mean, there was a high percentage of guys that blew out a knee that do it again. You know, I mean, he's more at risk than the average bear, too.
Yeah, and yet, I mean, you know, I stayed high on Gurley all summer. I owned him in so many redraft leagues because people were willing to let him slip. And it's like, you know, we wound up seeing how many running backs wound up getting hurt. And I totally agree with what you said early in the show, which was it was a fluky year and it's not going to be like that every single season. But I feel mighty good about the championship that I won behind Gurley.
No doubt.
All right, let's move on to another category. I called this one looking for answers. So some of these teams, they may have an answer in the very short term, and some we just have no idea what they're going to do. Let's look at Baltimore. So they've got Justin Forsett. he had the big year a couple years ago, got hurt last year. They turned to Buck Allen, who I don't know what you guys thought. I wasn't overly impressed by him. He's not in that Thomas Rawls category of, you know, lock him in as the starter for the next 2 years, at least in my opinion. Do they give Allen another shot? Do they bring in one of these free agents? I know they're not usually big players in the free agency free agent market. So what's going to happen in Baltimore? Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I would be pretty surprised if they were a player for one of these for Matt Forte or something. It's just not their style. Plus, I think they like Justin Forsett a lot. If I'm going to name a presumptive starter for 2016, I think it's Forsett again. I'm not sure I'd do it that way, but there are a lot of interpersonal locker room stuff that's important, and he's a key member of that team, and they had a lot of success as an offense when he was healthy in 2014. I don't think Forsett played. I wouldn't blame Justin Forsett for not producing awesome numbers before he got hurt later in the year last year. Like, I thought he played what he's supposed to be. He did exactly what he's supposed to be. He just caught lightning in a bottle in 2014 and was, you know, it was the most overrated player this past summer, and it was never going to happen that it was a repeat, and it didn't, and that's okay. And I think Forsett is what he is. He can still be a starter, a 60-40 guy where he's getting 60% and be just fine. And it'll come down to how good is everything else. Can they find a passing game? Can they keep receivers healthy? Can they get an offensive line? I'm with you on Buck Allen. You know, I think he's a pretty good player, but I don't think he's a star, and I don't think he's somebody you build an offense around. It's funny, you know, you don't realize when you watch his film, you don't realize he's as big as he is. He doesn't really run particularly big. He's fast enough, and he catches it really well, but this is a 6'2" guy and just doesn't run with power.
Matt, any thoughts about what's going on in Baltimore?
I basically agree. I have a feeling the Ravens like Allen more than I do. You know, they drafted him for a reason. They've seen him. I just think the general philosophy in Baltimore this year is rarely do we pick early. We are going to kind of tread water at our skill position players, and we're going to build a defense. You know, I mean, I think with the 6th pick overall, they're going best defensive player available, probably again in the second round. If they're spending money in free agency, it's to bring back Osemele. It's not to go out and get Foster or Forte or one of these type of guys. I think they just kind of roll with it for this year, and they'll be a major player a year from now for running back.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many pieces on that offense that get you really excited as the dynasty owner. You know, maybe Perriman can do something when he finally gets on the field. I saw today he's not even cleared yet, so there's some concern there. But you know, they just can't have the same injury issues that they had last year. You know, that was one of the worst I can remember as a football fan. I mean, you know, Flacco and Forsett, Smith and Perriman, and of course they never really got tight end figured out with Pitta. It looks like his career's over. But I mean, they just had so many injuries, and those guys, you know, not just missing a game or two, but landing on the injured reserve list. So,
speaking of Flacco, I guess they'll push him and he'll be there for week one. I don't think it's a fait accompli that however good you think Joe Flacco is when he's healthy, that he'll be that guy in the first month of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I remember seeing a report soon after his injury that week one was in doubt for him. And, I mean, this was months ago now, but there hasn't been much talk about that lately. But I think it's, you know, it's something over the next few weeks and months as the season gets closer, as training camp gets closer, you know, we've got to start looking at, is he even going to be on the field in week one? Well, let's move over to Houston. We've got Arian Foster.
Speaking of quarterback injuries, issues.
Yeah, speaking of quarterback issues and speaking of injuries as well. Of course, Foster's season ended early, and you know, whether he can come back from that injury or not, it looks like he's going to be cut from the Texans either way. I don't think their future running back starter is on the roster right now. I mean, Alfred Blue is a nothing, you know. So do they draft a rookie? Do they go after one of these free agents? You know, Alfred Morris is a guy we haven't mentioned yet. He'll land somewhere. I think he can be better than he was last year in Washington. What does Houston do, Matt? What do you think?
I think you're right that their starter is not on the roster. I think there's a chance this is where Elliott lands, although I have one I like a little bit better coming up here. Maybe they're a Forte player, maybe Miller, somebody like that. I don't know, but I think Foster's gone and the starter's not on the roster. So I would not be investing in Blue or any of those other jokers.
Jokers, I like it. You know, Jonathan Grimes is the only one who I think can play. I don't think he's a feature back by any stretch, but I think he's a good player, and he's not little. He's pretty durable. He's pretty versatile. I wouldn't be shocked to see Grimes in some sort of, you know, timeshare with someone else, but I agree that someone else probably isn't there.
So let's think about Foster just for a moment. One strategy I like to use in my dynasty leagues, I build around wide receivers, and then I just go pluck those aging running backs. And if they give me 1 year, great. If they give me 2 years, all the better. Is Foster a guy we should be buying, or are we just done with him altogether?
Would you give up 3-8 for him right now, or 3-4, you know, a random third-round pick for him? I think I'd do that. I wouldn't give up a second for him. I mean, I think there's a good philosophy there, because we're going to get to a lot of teams. Like, the Jets don't have a running back on their roster. You know, I mean, he's going to play somewhere next year.
For 8 games.
At most. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I love Arian Foster, and I think he's like the story of the NFL in this era, he'll probably be an overlooked guy, because I think he was a top 3 running back in the NFL for maybe 4 or 5 years, but he's so maddening. You know, the health has just been such a problem, and, you know, we've been saying every time we have this conversation, summer after summer after summer, it's always the same thing, and it always plays out the same way. It would be tough for me to be a buyer, unless it's just really cheap. I would say I'd feel a lot more comfortable, you know, saying, all right, let's hope I can get him in a veteran auction in your dynasty league, depending on your format, right? And maybe just have him for that 1 year and not have to rely on him as a starter, and then trade him. You know, 3 good games and trade him.
Yeah, he could be that guy that you're working a trade with your buddy and like, throw in Arian Foster and I'll do it. So he does that, and then after week 4, you trade him for a future second-round pick and you win. Then he gets hurt in week 5.
Exactly. All right. I think the Colts are an interesting situation. Of course, they signed Gore last year, and everybody immediately changed their expectations of what his season could look like, which led to some disappointment. He was fine. I don't think he was great. So do they stick with Gore for this next season? Or do they, you know, what are they doing there? They don't really have a quality young back on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, they were, yeah, I thought, boy, the stage is set for Josh Robinson to be a little something. And I mean little, but, you know, like a Maurice Jones-Drew type, and he just fumbled everything away. I think he's still on the practice squad. I would love to see him get another chance, because I think he's an NFL back, but, I mean, you can't fumble like that. You know, you get barely any work, and they have to add somebody. You know, it probably is going to be Gore as a lead guy. I think the best thing you can say about Gore's film from last year is at least he didn't fall off a cliff. He pretty much was what he was the last year in San Francisco, and that's an accomplishment for, you know, a back of his age. And I would say Matt has said this a few times, but they have bigger fish to fry. You know, maybe they spend a mid-round pick on a running back. Maybe a decent bet that they do that, but I don't imagine he would be a threat to Gore right away.
Right, I agree. I mean, they have to add someone in the draft, most likely. And that's probably, you know, with Gore as the starter, that's probably somebody we would want to take a shot on in rookie drafts, depending on, you know, depending on how early of a pick the Colts use.
I totally agree.
Right,
But in this backfield, maybe Josh Robinson's another one that you're talking trade. Throw in Josh Robinson, because maybe he ends up being the guy in week 7.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I'm usually very skeptical of smaller backs, but I don't view Robinson. I think he's one of those exceptions where he's not a small back, he's a short back. You know, he packs a wallop. He's not light. So maybe he's 5'7", you know, I don't know what he measured. I don't remember what he measured at the combine, but, you know, very, very short.
Yeah,
but I bought on him last year, and thought, okay, I'm in a decent position here. I don't trust Ahmad Bradshaw to ever stay healthy. And lo and behold, there's the chance, and all he did was fumble. And, you know, just it leaves a sour taste. But listen, if I can get over Melvin Gordon fumbling, I think I can get over Josh Robinson fumbling.
Yeah, I just wonder if there was more there with the Robinson deal because, I mean, he did have the fumbles, of course, which, you know, will keep you off the field. But for them to cut him and throw him back on the practice squad, I was kind of surprised. You know, that seemed kind of rash.
In favor of Zerlon Tipton. Like, of course, obviously we all love Zerlon Tipton.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about the team that everybody has to talk about when they talk running backs, the Dallas Cowboys, that – you know, probably the best offensive line in the league. They turned Darren McFadden into a fantasy starter again. The back half of last season. Are they going to give McFadden another chance to be their starter? Are they going to bring in one of these veterans, or do they go after Zeke Elliott?
Tough to see him taking him at four, though, right? I mean, I think to some degree. The NFL draft, like, it has this pretzel logic that I don't like. It's like, you know, you need a running back. Elliott's really, really good. Like, I don't think we see any flaws. And just because everyone says you shouldn't take him at four, you don't take him at four, like, I would just love to see Elliott on the Cowboys. I think it's a shame if they go with McFadden as their main guy because it just wastes, for me, it wastes the year of that offensive line. Like, yeah, McFadden's going to be okay. He was all right. He had a little bit of production, but... You know, I watched that film a couple times. Like, he doesn't do anything special anymore. I think you could almost put anybody in that offensive line. If you gave him touches, he'd be as good as McFadden was last year. If you're telling me which, you know, I would like to see Chris Ivory there if you told me that they could sign a free agent because he's a bruiser. But, boy, I know it won't happen, and I know I'm probably naive for saying this, but I would love to see the Cowboys just take Elliott at four.
Yeah, and we know that's not going to happen. Yep. But they could take Henry at 2-4, and then the Dynasty world. I don't either. And the Dynasty world would blow. I mean, it would go absolutely bonkers if Henry ended up the Heisman winner going to Dallas. I mean, I could see that happening, and Henry would be massively inflated and not what he should be, you know.
Right. It's like the what if game. What if Brandon Jacobs played behind the Dallas offensive line? Oh, he'd be Derrick Henry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's who I think Derrick Henry is. I've said that a couple times. But it is a prime landing spot. I don't think they're gonna go get Martin or Forte or one of these guys, though. They have a lot of fish to fry too.
Right. I mean, Miller would be, you know, Miller, as I said earlier, he's the fantasy, I think, of dynasty owners who are holding on to Lamar Miller. Like, that's the prime spot for him to land. But I'm with you. Like, is there money for that? I don't imagine that there is.
Yeah, but don't they want a bell cow? Don't they want Murray? Somebody give a ton of, you know, carries to? That's not Miller at all.
It's definitely not Miller. I'm 100% with you there. I think the way you phrased that earlier, like, stop blaming the Dolphins. Maybe it's Miller.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's fair to say that whoever lands in Dallas, if it's one of these free agents or if it's you know, if it's Henry or Elliott or even maybe even a third round rookie running back, they're going to be overvalued. Their value is going to see that huge spike. So, you know, somebody's going to get lucky with having one of these players on their roster already if it is a free agent, and you're going to have a chance to sell.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know why you'd say that. I mean, wasn't Joseph Randle a great player when he was, like, a freaking second-round pick last year?
Right.
Yeah, they tried Joseph Randle, they tried Kristen Michael. So, you know, those two guys are trying to disprove your statement of being
anyone,
able to put...
Right?
Yeah, just anyone.
To be honest, if Randle had, you know... three brain cells to rub together, I think he would have been fine. He would have been at least McFadden level. It's just, you know, you can't rely on the guy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's finish off this category with a couple of teams. We'll just group these two together. These teams are in bad shape. The Tennessee Titans. So they draft Bishop Sankey. They draft David Cobb. Both of those guys look like total bust. I don't think they can give either one of these guys another chance as a starter. They've got to add someone. And then the Jets, who had a great running game last year with Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell catching some balls out of the backfield, These guys are – I know Ivory is a free agent. I believe Pal is also a free agent.
He is.
Yeah, so, you know, probably one of those guys stays in town, and maybe that's safe to assume, but they have some questions in their backfield as well. Any thoughts on either of those two teams, guys?
Go for it, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I'm ready to give up on David Cobb. I'm certainly ready to give up on Bishop Sankey. And I never liked him to start with as a prospect. I still think that, listen, do I think David Cobb is a future star in the NFL? No. Do I think he can be Jeremy Hill? I do, you know, and I'm going to say a lot of the dysfunction in Tennessee last year was about the coaching. It's just a stupid coaching staff. The way Ken Wisenhunt used running backs there. Now, I think I have to walk that back a little bit because Matt said this before, you know, I hate stories that intuit what's wrong because of interpersonal stuff, because I don't think we ever really know the interpersonal stuff of inside locker rooms. But I'd be stupid to say that there isn't interpersonal stuff. It's just we're sure. never going to know it because it's all PR and spin. And so I grant that maybe Wisenhunt was dealing with a bunch of very difficult personalities and just couldn't ever really commit because they were all, you know, knuckleheads in his book. But I didn't see enough of Cobb one way or the other to say that he's a bust. I still have some hope that he could be a part of what they do in 2016.
We lump these two teams together, but they're very, very different, and this is why. Is Tennessee's not losing any of their running backs, and if it was the other way around, I think you'd just kind of see what Cobb can do. I agree with you. I mean, I want to see more of Cobb. I didn't love him, but he could be a chain mover. They're a total rebuild. Maybe next year's when you go get your running back, as opposed to, you know, if I'm rebuilding a team, running back's always going to be my last piece. But they have gobs of cap money. You know, I mean, they're going to spend it on somebody. I mean, and maybe it is only an Alfred Morris or Chris Ivory or somebody like that. But they have a ton of cap money that they're going to have a hard time spending, where the Jets have none, and they have to re-sign Mo Wilkerson and Ryan Fitzpatrick. And not only is Ivory and Powell up for free agency, but so is Ridley. I mean, they don't have any running back. They have Zach Stacy right now as the only running back on their roster. I think of all the teams in the league, the most likely to be starting a rookie might be the Jets.
So at 20, Zeke Elliott. I mean, if he lasted that long.
If he lasts that long, I think they run it up to the podium.
Right.
But I think he's going 15 or not. I think he's going earlier than that. We'll get to him.
Right. I mean, I'm with you about – and plus, we should add with the Jets, you know, one of the oldest teams in the NFL, you know, not at all built to last into the future, you know, saddled with a whole bunch of terrible contracts and, you know, just dead cap money and Antonio Cromartie walking around town with a lot of their money. Like, I'm with you. Like, there's no way they're signing one of the big free agents, so they almost have to go get a rookie whether or not he winds up starting. You know, and Ivory's got to be gone because Ivory, I think, is going to make legit $2, $3 million on the market. Bilal Powell's not making any money on the market.
I would bring back Ridley, though. I mean, if we can see the two-year-ago Ridley at nothing. I mean, I'm not going to pay him anything, but
of course
he might be their starter.
And he's a guy that's probably on waiver wires in dynasty leagues. So, you know, that's just another reason it's so important to follow this free agency news before it even starts. You know, connect some of these dots and take a chance on, you know, on a guy like Stephen Ridley who didn't really do anything last year.
Hey, Ryan, this next group, this Can We Trust Them group, let's kind of lump them all together and just see if there's any notes that stick out as opposed to going team by team, if that's cool.
Yeah, let's do that. So most of these guys had some success last year, and some of these guys had some big time success, but there's still some question marks, and I think in the minds of dynasty owners there is that question of, can we trust these guys? Can we trust these to be fantasy starters every single week? So we've got Devontae Freeman in Atlanta, of course, had the huge breakout season last year. Jonathan Stewart in Carolina. Ingram in New Orleans had some injury issues but was playing well before that. C.J. Anderson in Denver, he is a free agent, but most likely to stay in Denver, and Hillman's probably gone, so maybe he has the job to himself. Latavius Murray down in Oakland played, I think, better than most people expected, but there's still some doubt there. And then a couple of guys who disappointed but still have some big-time name value, Eddie Lacy in Green Bay and Amir Abdullah in Detroit. So just kind of throwing all that group against the window. Chris, any thoughts on any of those? Why don't you tell me one player from that group that you would definitely trust as far as your dynasty team goes?
I have to admit, I'm not looking at the list, so I don't have the full group. You want to run through them again for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. So we've got Freeman, Stewart, Ingram, Abdullah, C.J. Anderson, Latavius Murray, and Eddie Lacy.
You know, it's probably Lacy, even though I threw up my mouth a little bit when I said it. You know, it's I don't really buy – this has been like a joke running through the podcast for like 6 months, but I don't really buy that what was wrong with Eddie Lacy was mostly weight gain. I don't even know that I necessarily believe that there was. I think he was he's a fat guy. He was fat last year. I think he was fat this year. Like, he's just a big guy. I didn't see any other running back on that roster, you know, taking the opportunity and running with it. I feel like that offense was a mess. Maybe the larger question for Green Bay is – are we all whistling past the graveyard by saying, oh, Jordy Nelson coming back is going to rescue everything, and everything's suddenly going to be better, and they're going to go right back to being elite, where, you know, offenses that we assumed would be elite, like Detroit and New Orleans and, you know, name them, kind of seem like they're never going to bounce back to the levels they were at before. But if they do bounce back, I think Lacy will probably wind up being a big enough part of it. Do I think he's a great player? No, but I think he's probably gets – you know, the biggest share of work in an offense that, if it bounces back, is one of the best in the league.
So, Chris, I definitely agree with you that the only problem in Green Bay was not the injury to Jordy Nelson. You know, there was something deeper there, and I'm not enough of a football scout to identify what it was. But I will disagree with you. I mean, I was really impressed when we saw James Starks run. And, you know, I don't think he's a guy to go out and buy in the dynasty league or anything, but I think he looked a lot better than Eddie Lacy.
Starks is a free agent too. I mean, Starks could have been a Jet starter.
Right, so he's probably gone from Green Bay. But I will say there were moments when Starks looked good, and then there were moments when he dropped the ball, and then there were moments where I just think he's not a heady running back. I'm not even talking about numbers. I'm just talking about the way they looked from game to game. I mean, Lacy had games where all of a sudden he's getting 20-something carries and looking like himself again. Then next week he'd come back and he'd be poop again. Like, I think you said it right. Like, there's something going on in Green Bay, and I'm not sure if it's a one-year phenomenon, but whether it's they don't like the play calling or Aaron Rodgers is sort of thinks that he needs to sort of run his own show on the fly, I think there's some of that. Whether Randall Cobb is just dramatically overrated. Something is rotten in that kingdom.
All right, Matt. So Chris told us he's trusting Lacy of that group.
Can we throw in that I threw up in my mouth when I said it?
Right. He did not have confidence with that statement, but he went with Lacy. So Matt, I'll go the other end of the spectrum with you. Again, we've got Freeman, Stewart, Ingram, Abdullah, C.J. Anderson, Latavius Murray, and Lacy. Which one of those are you not trusting?
Murray, I'm not a Murray fan at all, and I actually think that's, if I had to put a chip down where Ezekiel Elliott's going to get drafted, I think it's going to be Oakland. You know, they're going to spend gobs and gobs of money in free agency, and maybe they go get Doug Martin or Miller or somebody. But
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, that very well could happen, but I think they attract their secondary, whatnot. They go into the draft saying, our roster looks pretty good, we had a lot of veterans, let me grab Elliott to put next to Cooper and Carr, and I love that thought. Just quick thoughts on this group. I don't think anything changes in Atlanta. It wouldn't shock me at all if Carolina uses a second or third round pick on a running back, because I think they have to find Stewart's successor, and I don't think it's Artis Payne. That offense was a lot worse when Stewart was out. I don't think anything changes in New Orleans. I'm an Ingram believer, and go out and look. He's a lot younger than you think, and he has a lot less wear and tear on his body than you think. The Lions are the classic, have way too many other fish to fry, so I think Zenner's their big guy, Riddick's their receiver. Abdullah is somewhere in between, but they need O-line. Their wide receivers are a mess. They need defensive tackle. They need linebacker. They need secondary. Too many fish to fry. Too many fish to fry in Denver as well. Bigger dogs to deal with. I think C.J. Anderson is the lead guy. I already talked about Oakland. And Green Bay, another one of my predictions, something I could really see happen. And if I was Ted Thompson, I would call Matt Forte.
Yeah, I mean, people are talking about that. I would say Alfred Morris landing spot, look at Atlanta. Again, not based on anything inside,
scheme.
But it's Shanny. It's Shanny Jr. And, you know, if you're going to say Tevin Coleman, Tevin Coleman had good moments. It's just every good Tevin Coleman moment was followed by an unbelievably head-clenchingly terrible Tevin Coleman moment. And maybe you just say, you know what, Tevin, why don't you sit for a year or two, and let's, they're not going to have to break the bank for Alfred Morris, and you know, somebody Shanahan is comfortable with. I'm just not a Devontae Freeman believer at all. If you'd asked me which guy I think is overvalued of that group, I would have said Devontae Freeman.
Chris, you remember at the summit last year, we were talking about this situation, and someone in the room said, Coleman's such a good fit for this zone blocking scheme. And you and I were sitting next to each other. We looked at each other like, no, he's not. You
know? Not at all.
The two of us kind of rolled our eyes at each other like, not even a little bit.
No, he doesn't cut. I mean, so, like, I think he did have good runs. But, like, you know, he would do a 25-yard run, but he'd fumble at the end of it. Or he would...
He's fast.
Right. I mean...
He's McFadden.
He's McFadden. That's a great comparison. He's McFadden.
All right. We've got our next category here just has two teams. I called it the crowded backfield category. We've got the Giants. So, of course, they have Shane Vereen. They have Andre Williams, Rashard Jennings. None of those guys really did much as far as fantasy scoring last year. And then other end of the spectrum, the Patriots just continued to trot out running back after running back, and they all seem to have some level of success. Of course, Deion Lewis started out like crazy last year and was one of the big surprises. LeGarrette Blount played well at times. James White finished up the season and had a couple big games. Blount is a free agent. Do we just expect Lewis to be the fantasy star he was the first half of last season?
I'm the Patriots fan, so I'll start. I got my footy pajamas on. no. No. Deion Lewis is going to get hurt. This just in. Deion Lewis is going to get hurt. If you expect him to touch it as much as he touched it last year, something will break because something always breaks. He's a luxury. They used him too much. And they had to. I get why they did it. They didn't have anybody else. They had LeGarrette Blount. He is a trash bag. He is terrible at football. He's big, but he's bad. I mean, I've heard people compare Derrick Henry to LeGarrette Blount, and I assume every time that happens, Derrick Henry like gets a cold shiver. Because if that's his career, it's not going to turn out so good for him. As a Patriot fan, I want Blount gone. I think he's always tempting, and you know, there'll be that one game a year, two games a year where they're blowing someone out, and he'll have 20 carries in the second half and make his numbers look good. But their game plan does not consist of LeGarrette Blount getting the ball early in games. And the reason is because they know he's not good. They've liked having – Matt, I saw something you wrote. Like, they've liked having the big body, for sure, to just be able to throw at the line. And, you know, it's part of the logic why Steven Jackson came aboard at the very end of last year. And so maybe that's a reason why they don't pay for Forte. You know, instead they look for a more physical, younger player. But I just think if you're relying on Deion Lewis to be a fantasy star, I unfortunately just think he'll break.
Yeah, and I hate to hear that as just a fan of football, but I think those are wise words. You know, the Lewis breakout was a great story last year, and anybody who pointed out his injury history was just shunned, you know, and ridiculed, and of course, you know, I hate that it played out the way it did, but he got hurt again, like he has every. You know, basically every year he's gotten a chance in the NFL. So as a Patriots fan or as a fantasy analyst, you can approach this either way you want, Chris. Who do you want? Let's say they do let Blount walk. Who do you want alongside Lewis in that backfield?
I want Matt Forte, even though I recognize that he isn't a real banger. You know, he's a big enough guy, but he's really more of a finesse player than he is a banger. I just think he's a generational talent, and I still think his film looked awfully good when he was healthy last year. I would never pay the money that I assume Forte could get on the free agent market. I just want Matt Forte to decide, I'll take $1 million because I want to win a Super Bowl. And if he would do that, I would do it in a heartbeat, acknowledging that they probably also should get a big running back somewhere just to be a wear and tear guy, because that's not what Forte is. But I don't think the Patriots think of their backfield in terms of roles. I just think they think of very game plan specific from week to week, and sometimes that's Lewis and sometimes it's someone else. And I think Forte could be just such a mouthwatering portion of that equation. It's probably not going to happen, and they're just not going to be players in free agency in general, but it's my dream.
Yeah, I've also heard the scenario of the continued Jets-Patriots rivalry that they go out and try to steal Ivory. I'm assuming you'd be good with that as well.
I would be, but I just think there's no chance Ivory takes less money. Like, right. There's some chance Forte's made a lot of money in the NFL and, you know, is nearing the end, and he does the Steven Jackson move, you know, he does the Corey Dillon move, whatever. But, yeah, Ivory hasn't made a ton of money in the NFL. This is it for him. This is his contract, and that's not the Patriots' MO.
All right, well, let's finish up with the last three teams we have not touched on yet. And I just call this category next in line. So these are three teams who have lost or likely will lose their veteran starter. We've already mentioned Matt Forte leaving Chicago. Of course, Marshawn Lynch has announced his retirement from the Seattle Seahawks, and everybody expects Alfred Morris to part ways with the Redskins. So that leaves in Washington Matt Jones, Rawls, we already mentioned in Seattle, and Jeremy Langford in Chicago. Of course, finishing up their rookie year, these are all fairly young backs. None of them were necessarily highly rated coming into the league a year ago. Rawls was an undrafted free agent. I think Jones was a surprise third-round pick, and the Bears got Langford a little bit later. If you're taking a shot on one of these guys in your dynasty league, who are you taking, Chris?
So this is independent of price, right? Because I think the price is very different on these guys.
Yeah, let's just say you have your choice.
Okay.
Yeah, independent price.
I'm going to say Rawls, but I think there's a pretty big caveat, which is, what is that Seattle offense going to be? Like, is Russell Okung really leaving? It sounds like he is. Is Sweezy really leaving? I'm not sure he's great, but it sounds like he is. I do trust that the Seahawks are good at finding players that we haven't heard of and turning them into good NFL starters. So I'm not going to say that suddenly means it's a bad offensive situation, but it has a little less stability than it's had in the past few years. And I don't think Rawls is a superstar in terms of ability. The guy who I likened him to when I was watching his tape before he broke his leg was Ahmad Bradshaw. And when Ahmad Bradshaw was healthy before he had foot problems, he was a really good player. Not an elite superstar type player, but pretty darn good. I think Jeremy Langford is fairly close behind. You know, he would probably be second on my list. And then Matt Jones has some upside, some interesting stuff about him, but there were big-time warts last year as well.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. And you chose Rawls. Rawls is the most expensive, you know, and if you're looking at Dynasty ADP or looking at some recent trades, he's already being valued pretty highly. And Matt Jones seems to be the cheapest. So that's in line with your analysis as well.
Matt, what do you think of those three?
I agree with pretty much everything you said. You know, if I'm Seattle, maybe Fred Jackson. Actually, if I'm all three of these teams, I think would like to bring in a veteran. I mean, these are young players. Do you trust them? I'd like to have an older guy that's been around the block to put in the running back meeting rooms here. Seattle could probably get that done. Maybe they think it's Fred Jackson. But like you said, their line is horrible. And it's been horrible for years, but it looks worse than ever. I would assume that's their number one priority this offseason. Washington, I like their line. And despite what we saw from Kirk Cousins, I think they are going to be a run-first team. I think Matt Jones has a chance to be 1,200-yard rusher here. But their cap problems are big. And so I don't know that they can go sign a veteran of consequence to put in the room with him. But you're right. I mean, the fumbles, he's highly inconsistent. I'm not a big Langford fan. I can admit he played better than I expected him to last year. The Bears have tons of cap room. I think they get somebody. I mean, maybe that's where Starks lands or Morris or somebody with size.
Yeah, I mean, what Langford is another one of those big guys who doesn't really run big. He's fast.
Right.
I'm not sure he necessarily cuts all that much, and I'm not necessarily – like, people who think that Jeremy Langford is Matt Forte are in for a really sad treat, because Matt Forte is a big guy who's just unbelievable feet, and Jeremy Langford just doesn't have that.
Yeah, I think Langford's just a guy.
Yep. Oh, fast guy, right?
I mean, he can run fast on a straight line. That's his best attribute.
Right.
And Carey's just a guy, too. I mean, they have a ton of cap room. I bet they bring in somebody that steals carries, goal line carries, whatnot. I don't know. But the Bears could use another back, and I think they'll get it.
What's your assessment of Rawls? Like, even independent of the offensive line, which I know you really can't separate, but I'm interested just, do you find yourself, that a little better than we thought he'd be?
For sure. You know, I mean, considering he didn't come to the league with much fanfare, We had Sigmund Bloom on a couple episodes back, and he absolutely loves the guy. I thought your Ahmad Bradshaw comparison was a very good one. He's a smaller guy, but he runs hot. You know, I mean, he's a nasty physical runner. I wonder, you know, like all these running backs. So, I mean, I'm sure he's going to take a lot of beating, especially behind that offensive line. I wouldn't pay what he costs right now in the dynasty world, but I wouldn't be looking to sell him if I owned him either.
Right.
So over the next few weeks, we know, you know, we'll see these guys like Miller and Ivory and Foster and Forte and Alfred Morris, you know, they're going to sign in places we may not expect and just throw, you know, throw all this analysis out the window. So that's the fun part of free agency and following the NFL in the offseason.
We didn't get to the Hall of Famer David Johnson.
Oh, we did with him. Wow. Okay, so.
Chance to be one of the greatest running backs in NFL history, according to Bruce Arians. Probably going to give him 35 carries a game, I would guess.
Right. You know, exactly.
At least he'll save.
He was going to with Ellington last year. Right. Sure.
You know, Chris, I actually did have him in the safe category, the very first one we mentioned.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Would you agree his job is safe?
I think his job is safe. I just don't think he's a proven commodity at all.
Right.
Like, you know, I think they'll try to make him a starter, but I'm not sure I would have put him, you know, he probably wasn't the scariest of that safe group to me. I lost track of the list, but I do, I worry that maybe too much is being given. You know, I admit he ran, you know, I didn't see any Northern Iowa film, so I'm just going to admit that right away. Like last year, I kind of just took as given what people were saying, which was big kid who doesn't run over anybody and plays like a small back. And that certainly was not what we saw. He was quite physical. And for his size, he moves real well. But I just think it's a super passing offense, and if he doesn't get a lot of one-yard touchdowns, people might be disappointed.
So he's being valued as the third running back in Dynasty.
I think that's crazy.
And you're a big-time seller at that point, right?
Oh, my goodness. If I could get, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, it seems like I could get almost anybody I want if he's being valued as the third running back in – I just think that's so
– But who's your number three, I guess, is my question.
You asked me this.
Obvious, and then the third one is still David Johnson for me. Okay, I love his situation.
Yeah, it's not for me
that much.
But Matt, you asked me. You said that was going to be one of your questions on this podcast, and so
yeah.
To, like a top five. So one and two, I have Bell and Gurley, and you could probably intersperse them. My number three is getting hit by a bus. That's my dead spin. That's my nod to dead spin. My number three is it's a giant chasm to number three, and then but my real number three is Doug Martin, and I'll tell you my number four is Adrian Peterson for exactly the reasons you guys were saying, like nothing's given and nothing's promised, and I'll take 1 year of Adrian Peterson, please.
Yeah, I mean I understand that logic.
All right, well thanks so much for being on, Chris. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you and find your work?
Sure. I mean, Twitter, @HarrisFootball. You can give me a follow there, and that's kind of the gateway drug to all things Harris Football. But we have a podcast called the Harris Football Podcast. Didn't exist as of like 6 months ago, and it turned into this monolithic big machine that people actually like and listen to. I'm very happy. And so it's on iTunes and any other else you get podcasts. And we're doing shows this week during the combine. We'll have shows during free agency daily. And then around the draft, I'll have like 3 weeks of shows every day. Take a little break in the summer. And then, yeah, I mean, the good thing compared to what I used to do at ESPN is that during the season, it's every weekday, so it's 5 shows a week. It's a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
All right, well, thanks again for coming on, and we'll see you guys next time.